Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
What is up, podcasters everywhere? You are listening to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, episode Lucky 7. I'm your host, T. Morris, and along with me, the man who has been with me since the second edition, and he still wants to work with me.
Second edition, second fiddle, whatever. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and still loving it and still having fun.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this. That is the whole point of podcasting, that you're having a good time. Thank you, everybody in chat, for joining us. If you want to be part of chat, if you want to be part of the recording of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, by all means, go out to twitch.tv/thetmonster and make sure that you have the notifications enabled when you follow. Then you will know when we go live with these recordings. Your questions in chat, your interaction with us, help make this podcast even more fun than what it already is. And today we should be having some fun because we are going to be going into the gadgets that make a podcast happen. This is usually the biggest thing that we get asked again and again and again. What do I need to make a podcast happen? And they're talking about all the props. They're talking about all the different things that make a podcast go. And it's kind of, would you call it a rabbit hole?
It can be, you know, if you're a gadget nerd, you can easily spend your life's income on this, but it also tends to be one of the more dynamic chapters from edition to edition on this. Oddly enough, we found that it wasn't as striking of a change in the last 3 years. The basics are still good basics. The higher end stuff is still pretty much the same higher end stuff. I mean, they've come out with new models. Obviously, manufacturers need to do that to keep their product line fresh. But it wasn't as striking in the 2 years, 3 years we went from first edition to second edition. It was, oh my gosh, third edition to fourth edition, not so much. But
that's mainly because between the second and third edition, we had nearly a decade go by. But in the early days,
things were moving fast. I mean,
very fast. Very fast.
So and, where do you want to start?
And so yeah, that's the big question. Where do we start?
Get out your Christmas list, everybody. It's that time of year.
One of the first things that we mentioned in the book are the headphones that I'm currently wearing right now. But I have to give them the proper look. Hold on 1 second. This headset right here is the Logitech Pro X.
Okay.
And we know of several podcasters who literally started their podcasts using gamer headsets.
Yes.
Gamer headsets are some of the most economic means of making a recording happen, because you get everything in one. You get headphones, you get microphones all in one. And these types of headsets have come really far in their technology. One of the reasons why we pointed out, though, the Logitech Pro X is, and I don't know how they do it. I don't know what type of black magic they did to make this happen. They basically took all the technology that you would have in this microphone, blue microphone that you see here, right? They take all of that and they put it in here. They put it in this microphone. Now, I don't know how they went from this to this, but as I would say, more of that, please. More of that.
Yeah.
It is amazing the sound quality you have with this. In fact, I want to see. I don't know if I'm going to actually see if I can do that in real time.
The boom microphone has another advantage that you don't have to train anybody real hard on how to use it. It's always a consistent distance from your mouth. Yes. So as long as you're not breathing out and going,
exactly.
We don't want any of that. So adjust it accordingly, but it makes for a really decent audio experience instead of getting someone who's fairly far away and then they get closer and they're far away. It's just, you could, if you're dealing with animated people, that microphone is going to keep up with them. So I like boom microphones from that standpoint.
So let me see if I can change it in midstream. I'm going to go on ahead and go to microphone.
Froy wanted one more call out for that. The Logitech Pro.
This is Logitech Pro. This is the Logitech Pro Pro X. And it's priced at $130.
Okay.
And at $130, you basically get the headset and you get the mic. Now, can you hear a difference in my voice?
Did you change your audio settings? You're going to have to say something more than a couple more lines.
How about now?
Okay. That's a bit different. Obviously it's not the same studio.
It doesn't have the same, and we're going to get into this style of microphone in just a second.
Yeah. The lows are, it's got a much higher, higher bias on it.
Yeah. But the advantages of this is that this is an all-in-one, all-in-one solution.
Yep.
And Gamer Cat is helping. No, he is not Nerd Girl. In fact, you know what, Chuck, when you do the show notes for this, make sure you say the gadget show with extra help from Gamer Cat.
Gamer Cat.
Because right now. But anyway, no, but it's what's really nice is you have a consistent, you set the distance of your boom mic once. Because yes, even something as small as this is considered a boom mic. And this, coupled with this, for $130, that's a really good deal. This headset, just so you know, this is, again, Logitech G. This is exceptional for gaming. But for podcasting, it's even better. It's great because you can hear your co-host. The other nice thing about these headsets is that this headset does, in fact, have the ability to turn noise reduction on and off. And if you can turn the noise reduction off for editing, that is essential because you want to make sure that whatever headset you're using, it's closed ear, and it also does not have noise reduction.
That's an important point. Yeah, a lot of people go, that is real great.
I'm gonna let Chuck expand on that. Why that's an important.
So noise reduction, you're probably familiar with it. It blacks out that background noise. I use them when I try to sleep on airplanes. Okay, it takes out that hush, noise, so that it takes that out. And if you've recorded something on your podcast that has a hiss or a shh, and your noise reduction is canceling that, you're not going to hear it while you're editing. So you want to be able to have no noise reduction headphones, or turn that off if you do have them. In the case of the Bose, it's flipping a switch. Yours may differ. It may be a software setting. It may be a switch on the wire. It might be a switch on the headphone. Find some way to defeat that while you're doing your editing.
So I have now gone back to this microphone setup, but I wanted to go on ahead and show the other big advantage. If you've got a microphone that you prefer over the smaller headset version, this is another great thing about the Logitech G, is that you can go ahead and you can remove the microphone and going ahead and use whatever microphone you want and still have the quality of these headphones. Now, so that is one place to start. So I've shown off one of my toys.
Okay.
Chuck, what about you?
I'm going back to the basics. The old reliable, you got it, your friend and mine, every musician's stage friend, the Shure SM58. Okay. It is a workhorse. You can get it with an on-off switch. I just went with the straight up. Yeah. What looks funny is because this one doesn't have a dented windscreen. I think every other one that I've seen, they always have a flat side or two flat sides that they've been dropped. Okay, don't do a mic drop. Respect your microphones. But I picked up a couple of these recently. They are a dynamic microphone, and we'll talk about the difference between dynamic and condensers in a little bit because we're each using one of each. The right. It does have an XLR input, whereas I believe your headphones, are those USB, T?
These are USB.
Okay. The headphones are USB, as is that Blue Yeti, but this is XLR, which gets you into that next neighborhood of, oh my gosh, how do I hook up this to my computer? You can get an XLR, which is the three-prong approach. You can get that adapter to USB if you're by yourself. But if you want to, oh, look at that. He's got one right on set. Good for you. Or if you're bringing in multiple microphones, maybe even some media or music from a player. We talked about licensing and everything before. You can get yourself a cheapo little mixer. This is the Behringer Xenix 802. It's got a couple of mic inputs. It's got some auxiliary quarter-inch inputs. You can adjust everybody individually. It's even got, you see this red line over here? You can do a secondary auxiliary output, which is really handy if you want to do something like a Skype call or Zoom call, and you don't want somebody hearing themselves on that call. You can do what's called a mix minus using this. We talk about that in the book. I'm not going to get into details today, but these increase your flexibility. Last I checked, these were like $65, $70 and $99 for this microphone. So again, not much more than T's headset, and you've got some more flexibility in what you want to do. You don't need to be an audio engineer to run one of these. They look scary at first, but when you realize three of these are just controlling the high, medium, and low bias.
Yeah.
You've got, you call a friend. There's lots of videos out there. We can even help you out getting familiar with your mixer. From that basic mixer, the concepts are the same right up to this ginormous thing I've got in front of me, which does digital inputs and routing and effects. And but effectively, there's a slider to move the volume up and down. You want louder, Chuck? You move it up. You want it quieter, Chuck? You move it down.
Right, right. And I mean, and that's the thing is that the equipment does look very intimidating, especially when you first hook it up. And yet when you start to learn your way around it, you suddenly realize, wait a minute, this is exactly how something like, say, OBS operates, or this is exactly how this piece of software operates. And suddenly you realize that mixing and mixers in general, it depends on how many people now. Do you necessarily need a mixer? The answer is no. It depends on if you have a lot of guests in studio or not. With Chuck, I mean, the most guests you've had in studio would be how many?
10.
10. I've maxed out my studio at 6.
And you know what? If you start getting more voices than that, the listener gets really confused.
Exactly.
It's like trying to follow Game of Thrones. Like, I give up.
and on that, you know, if you know that you're going to have an average of, say, 3 voices or even 4 voices, then yes, you are going to need, you're going to need a mixer. In the before times, when I would do when I would do Happy Hour from the Tower, the guys would come in, and then, you know, I'd use my mixer, and I'd have a mic for Nick, a mic for Brandon, a mic for me. But now in the time of COVID, my mixer is Discord. It's like what I'm doing right here with Nick, and until things calm down COVID wise, that's what my mixer is going to be Discord. But when starting off, you know, most of the time when people start off a podcast, it's usually a solo voice. And the Shure SM7B is a fantastic dynamic mic to work with.
Oh, I love that mic. So, I used it so for years.
This was the one that Michael Armenigay suggested. I've been using it for, ever since day one of my podcast. And I know that in chat, Don't Panic and Kat can speak about this. But this right here is the MXL 990.
That's been a workhorse for a lot of people. Yes.
Yeah. This is a brilliant microphone. But now, this whole thing for is on Discord. This whole thing for is on Discord. Now, and right now I'm using MXL 990. I'll get into the difference between this 990 and this 990 in a minute.
That one's got a red light in it.
Well, that's one thing. But the other thing is that this is a condenser mic versus a dynamic mic. Now, this is real important because for years I was using this incorrectly. If Chuck could hold up his SM58.
You talk into it much like you'd see somebody talking into a microphone on the end. This is called end addressable when you speak down the tube.
That is characteristic of a dynamic mic. And for the longest time, I talked to my dynamic mic in the same way because I was talking to microphones like this.
Yeah.
With a studio condenser mic, the pickups aren't here. And that's one of the things I love about the light here. It's actually illuminating the pickups. The pickups are here.
In the side.
So in the side. So what you do is you find the label. And the other tip I would recommend, make sure you read the instruction manuals and the documentation because it would explain it as well. but you have the label facing you and you talk into the mic in this direction.
Yeah.
And that's why when you see me with this mic, it's not this end pointing towards me. It's the face, because I can see the MXL label right here. The other difference about a studio condenser mic is that it requires something called phantom power.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the phantom power from a wide variety of things. You can get phantom power most of the time from a mixer board, but the other place you can get it is from this right here. And this is the USB adapter that I use, because this actually is going into my computer as a USB.
You may also use what's called a preamp to get that phantom power as well.
Yep. A preamp will also do that. I know that Shure has a preamp. They swear by it. It's a very good mic. This is the MXL Mic Mate. And the MXL Mic Mate is basically that. What it does is that, and again, this is what is hooked up in front of me right now. These two, what you're hearing right now on the stream and what you're hearing right now on the podcast is exactly what an MXL sounds like. And what happens is that you basically take this MXL, it hooks up here, phantom power in here, USB connection the there.
Yeah.
I now have a really sharp USB microphone.
The thing about condenser microphones is they have a totally different pickup pattern than you would with a dynamic microphone. Dynamic microphones you typically sit much closer to get your voice clear. They don't pick up a lot of room noise, whereas condenser mics have, I think it was it you or Menengay that said you can hear a cricket farting two counties away?
That's Menengay. That's definitely Menengay.
Very sensitive microphones. And because of that, there is a cautionary tale of two condenser microphones in the same room. You will start, it does degrade the quality of hearing clearly everybody's voice. It took me a long time to figure this out because I had two condenser microphones and two dynamic microphones in the studio. And I would use the condensers for guests 3 and 4. And I couldn't figure out why the whole podcast sounded like this big noisy room when I had a couple of extra guests in there. And even I'm like, I'm using a Heil PR40, which sounds really warm and nice until those other microphones came online and they just sucked the energy out of the room. And I went, wow. Okay. So multiple condenser microphones, they're wonderful things. You don't have to sit quite as close to them if you're the only person talking, is what I would say.
So one thing I will say that Chuck and I have noticed, since we're, again, going back to the gadgets, you'll notice that we're talking about taking either a mixer board or using an adapter to turn a studio condenser mic or a dynamic mic into a USB mic. The other thing you do is just get USB microphones. Now, in the early days, we probably would not recommend that because the first USB mics were pretty dicey. They were pretty dicey to begin with. When it comes to USB mics now, they have come so far in technology. It's ridiculous. The first one I'll show you is this one. This is the Blue Yeti. This is not the Yeti X. This is the model underneath this. This is the Yeti. And this is a reliable, beautiful studio condenser mic. I don't talk into it like this. I make sure Blue is facing me and I talk into it like this. This is totally USB powered.
Mm-hmm.
And you honestly cannot tell the difference between the Blue and the MXL 990. Both of these run about the same price. And the only time where you really start to notice anything about the micro, and this is why there's still a place for MXL 990s and dynamic studio condenser mics and XLR cables and mixer boards, is that if your computer cannot keep up with the signal that's coming out of the USB mic, you start to get what's called latency. And I know that my stream has heard this before. I tried doing Fireside Lore. This is the mic I use for Fireside Lore, where I set up outside, just kick up a fire in the fire pit outside, and then we read Lore Destiny 2, and I'm streaming with this mic. The problem is that when I tried to do it on my old laptop, you started to hear an echo. That's called latency. It's my computer unable to keep up with the signal. So then you might have to upgrade your computer, or you might have to upgrade, other gear in order to avoid that latency. So that's one option. here's another USB option, and I cannot stress enough how good this microphone is. This is a USB microphone from Shure. Just the look of it, I love it.
It's a Buick radiator grill for all you audio-only people.
or it's more like, just because I love you look tonight. I mean, it's got that Sinatra kind of feel to it. I love it. But what's really sweet is that it's got this little kickstand in the back.
And it sits
and
on the top.
While you can't see it, it basically just sits on its own. So you're actually getting the mic and the tripod for free. Nice. This is also a very sharp, but this one is a dynamic mic because I'm talking into
it. Oh, and you're going to have to get pretty close to it too.
Actually the pickup pattern is
really?
Not too bad on it.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
too bad on it. I can actually, I've been using it, primarily for game comms. I can have it on the, as far away. And because it's pulling power from the USB, it's got a really pretty pickup.
Nice.
Was there any other mics you wanted to show off before we move on to something else?
I've got the Rode Procaster, which is a big, heavy beast. Rode makes some heavy mics, don't they?
they are bad,
quality.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, but it's
not about size, Chuck. It's not about size.
It's a solid metal casing on that thing what it is.
Yeah.
There's also, we'll get to that in just a sec, because I noticed something on a video about that, reporter. You got the reporter.
I have the reporter.
The Procaster also has a USB counterpart, I should say, called the Podcaster. So the black one is the Procaster. The white one is pretty much the same, except instead of XLR out the bottom or back, it's got USB. And that's the one that you see Craig Stepp using when he's on mic. Very nice, dynamic USB or XLR microphone.
That was the microphone my wife used for many years when she was in New Zealand. She was using the Rode Podcaster, which actually put Rode on the map for podcasters to begin with. Now, one nice thing about the Rode reporter is that it actually comes with a nice little extra prop.
The flag.
Now, this is a mic flag. Now, how does this work?
You clip it right on the top.
You clip it right on the top.
And you can put a sticker on there that says, this is my podcast.
Yep. And you'll notice that the sticker for the podcast is, in fact, Happy Hour from the Tower. So I can go on ahead and I can do interviews with people. Yep. And then whenever the camera lands on me, I can go on ahead and make sure that Happy Hour is clearly seen.
Yep.
So that is one of the nice little touches of the Rode broadcaster. It is also a USB mic. XLR mic.
Yep.
But I can go ahead and take the mic mate, plug this in. I've got a USB. Now you'll notice one thing that all of these, well, not the blue mic, but some of these other mics, you'll notice that with the 990, you notice with this one thing they don't come with are mic stands.
Right.
And if you think, well, I could go on ahead and I could do a 30-minute podcast like this. Holding the mic in one. No.
The other thing that holding it in your hand does is generate mic noise. You will get handling noise. I used that for a number of weeks as my karaoke microphone, and it got pretty noisy holding it in my hand while I sang, even during just the parts that didn't have any music. I was using music as a cover up. But putting it in a mic stand, whether it's a floor standing mic stand or a desktop mic stand or a boom stand like we T and I have on the video here, that's one of the accessories. There's lots of microphone accessories and lots of studio accessories you can get as well. Oh, you know what I forgot to talk about in the mixers?
My favorite new toy. Oh yeah.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah,
there we
Rode gets extra props for this year for the fourth edition with the Rodecaster Pro. This is probably if I didn't have the mixer in front of me, I would convert tomorrow on this thing. It has four XLR microphone inputs. It has Bluetooth. It has USB in and out. So I could literally hook up my phone, pair my phone with this mixer on Bluetooth and call T and do an interview that way. It is completely transparent. Or set up a Zoom call or a Discord call, plug in the USB from my computer and say, that's your audio input and output. Go. A soundboard.
It is insanely good. It's got
a built-in soundboard. And I thought, well, I don't know if I can live on 8 buttons with some of my podcasts. Oh, no, you can multiplex these things into different pages of configuration. So, yeah, it can be a lot of fun. It's a great toy. The lights are fun. It's got a touch screen to do a lot of the interface, a big red record button so you know when you're recording, digital VU meters to know when your levels are up and down, and it's even got some microphone presets for, of course, the Rode microphone. So if you say, hey, I've got a Rode Procaster, boom, it takes care of all the, you know, the best settings for that microphone. One of the other ones they sent that I didn't mention is the Pod Mic, which is almost like the Procaster, but shorter. It's a wonderful quality on that. Goes right up. It is a dynamic microphone. So props to Rode for really coming through on this edition and the previous edition of Podcasting for Dummies. Oddly enough, I hate to say this, especially, you know, since we give Rode so much love, but my preferred microphone in front of me is still a Heil PR40. I mean, I love the Procaster, and all the studio guests get to use them, and I know they're going to be top quality. But just when it comes to microphones, do some experimenting. If you can, you go to the local guitar center or whatever your store is and say, I'd like to listen to myself on these microphones and find out. You may find that, you know, the good old reliable SM58 is the best for you. Even if money is no object, you don't have to spend a lot to sound terrific.
To say that one mic fits all is not true.
Nope.
It's just not true.
Nope.
My mics of choice, the Shure SM7B, Shure has been very good to us. I'm sending out, and just so you know, Chuck, I'm actually sending out to the vendors that I talked to and I got addresses for, I'm sending out books next week.
As am I. Yep. Nick in Australia, your book is on its way.
Autographing and sending them out. Yeah. And because they were that good to us. Now, and I'm also partial to MXL 990s, not just because they're so good to us, but also because they're just reliable. These are reliable. And this was my first ever, microphone. They were an easy investment. They were easy to figure out once I knew that I was talking it in the wrong way. I was like, oh, that explains it.
Yeah.
But as far as talking about, mic stands, you'll notice that the blue Yeti came with a mic stand. Most USB mics will come with their own mic stands, but when you start getting into the MXL 990s, the Isles and some of the Shures, they don't. But one thing I would recommend you look into are what are called bundles. Now you can't see across from me, but there's a bundle both across from me and a bundle right here that you can see. There's this particular bundle is called the Overstream bundle. And it comes in two flavors. You can either get Blizzard, which is a white microphone with a blue light, or Blaze, which is black with red, like my heart. But you know, I mean, but the
your heart is black.
My heart is black. Anyway, but this is still a 990. And especially when I'm playing Phasmophobia, this looks great because you've got this basically red light just hovering in total darkness.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil Rossi. Anyway, but the Overstream, you can either get it in Blizzard or in Blaze. And with that, you get the MXL 990. You get the MXL boom microphone stand, and then you get a mic mate. And then you get all the cables that you need. So literally out of the box, you're ready to go.
Yep. So there's a similar bundle with the Rodecaster Pro where they put in a mic, the Pod Mic, the XLR cable, even an SD card to get you started. So look for the bundles. They're a good way to go, and it's a quick up and running configuration. There's one other microphone that I did want to mention that you can't see on camera, but it is, there it is. This is my Audio-Technica shotgun microphone. Now, not common for podcasters, but when you start getting into video and you don't want a microphone on your video, especially if you're doing like a green screen effect, let me switch over to that. So I'm going to mute this one and bring up the shotgun microphone. You can tell there's definitely a quality difference in there.
But your pickups are really sensitive.
It is very. Yeah. And I had the mic volume just a little high on that one. But now I'm free to do things with my hands. And from a video shot, you know, if I were doing a green screen, let me get that out of the way. I got microphones running into microphones at this point. Now I can adjust that just off frame, and it makes for a really decent pickup, a decent microphone that you can do. It's either that or you invest in a lavalier microphone, you know, the kind that you clip onto your lapel and it might show in the shot or just off.
We're going to go into lavalier mics later on when we get into podcasting on the go.
No, typically a lav isn't, this is an XLR microphone at heart. So you do have to plug it in.
I'm going by the book.
Do we have, we have a portable lav, the lav mic from Rode that we do.
Potato. You're getting ahead of us, Tomasi.
This is not something you can plug into your phone.
Yeah. Right.
So this is what I use in studio when I need. I use this on my morning live streams. I use the shotgun for something else. I use the dynamic. So yeah, I've got a bit of a toy selection to choose from, but it's the right tool for the right job. You know, like there's a difference between having a ball peen hammer and a claw hammer and a sledgehammer. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You can all drive a nail, but they're different, or even one of those, you know, little hammers that you put in the brads anyway. So just wanted to point out, but the other thing about my shotgun microphone that I do need to point out is, it does not, and this is a nice segue into the accessories, when I tap on the desk, okay,
yes,
it is screwed to the desk.
Right. And again, going back to...
As opposed to this bad boy, the Heil, is in a shock mount. It is isolated, so the only time you would hear any sort of interference, same tapping on the desk going on. You don't hear it because it's isolated from that. So if you've got desk-mounted mic stands and somebody is gesticulating or drumming their fingers, ask them to stop first.
I mean, it's the same thing with here. Like, you'll notice that this this blue microphone comes with a desktop stand.
And it will pick up the desk noise.
Yeah, it will pick up desk noise if it's down here. Also, there's this tendency to adjust yourself to the mic so that you start leaning in, and then you take a look at my posture. And when you start doing that, after a while, that's going to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like about boom mics, I've been using boom mics for close on 14 years now. And there is actually a bundle called Yeti Caster, where you get the Yeti. You get a pop filter, you get a shock mount specifically designed for the Yeti, you get a blue designed boom microphone. So you get all that and you basically pay one price. And again, it is a lot less expensive than if you're buying all these things separately. And the biggest advantage I would say with boom mic stands versus traditional desktop mic stands is, along with avoiding the desk noise, you've seen me do this on stream before, chat. I basically can just I can adjust the mic to me as opposed to adjusting around the mic. So I'm a huge proponent of these of boom mic stands. The other nice thing about this mic stand versus the what you would see in the headset earlier is if I've got a drink, I don't have to maneuver myself around. So whether it's just hydration or whether it's beer, again, boom mics help with. These are just some of the gadgets that you're going to be looking into when getting started. But one of the things that you want to make sure that you don't do is get lost in the shopping, get lost in the gadgets. You do not necessarily have to get everything that we mentioned here.
Start
economically. Yep. I tell people, if you want to start off simple, start with a headset.
Yep.
Start with a headset. And if you can, start with a headset that allows you to remove the mic. So decide, okay, I'm going to upgrade to a microphone. Upgrade to a microphone first. And I've talked to several podcasters. Podcasters say, when you want to start, the first thing to start with are headphones. Get yourself a good pair of headphones. non-noise canceling, mm-hmm. preferably closed ear. And that way, not only can you self-monitor your conversations, but then you can also, when you're recording, not lose out on the noise that you're trying to edit out of your podcast. What about you, Chuck? Where do you start? Do you start with a mic? Do you start with headphones? What do you start
as far as getting gadgets? It's been so long since I started. I started talking into the laptop built-in microphone. It was so terrible. I immediately went, oh, I need a new microphone. But yeah, being able to listen as you record is hugely helpful. If you're recording blind, you know, effectively blind or recording deaf without headphones or limited capability, that's a problem. That's a problem you need to overcome. So I would almost put them in the same class is your microphone and your headphones. They're the peanut butter and jelly of your podcast. I generally, when I'm sitting in the studio for a long time, closed ear headphones press on my glasses and make my head hurt. So I have gone for the over the ear. And unfortunately, these are starting to get old and the foam is decaying. And I can't find these. I love these headphones. They're light. They're compact. They're not obtrusive on the camera. I can take the cord and put it behind my back and it really becomes very non-committal. You'll find things that fit your own style. The challenge you may have, especially with a condenser microphone, is over the ear headphones will become more important because you may have what's called leakage. If you
not to be confused with brain leakage or anything like
that. The audio may be leaking out. You'll hear a high version. It's like the audio is leaking out from your headphones and being picked up from the mic. Look, there's only about 3-4 inches between my ear where the audio could be coming out and the microphone picking it up. So
right.
Be cognizant of that. Closed ear microphones will limit that to a great degree.
Now, Froy says, and this is a legit concern, and this will be a great way to close out this particular episode. Froy says, it took me a ton of time to get used to monitoring. Listening mm-hmm. to myself was very distracting. And again, it goes back to, I hate listening to the sound of my own voice. But here's the thing about podcasting. You got to get used to that.
Yep.
Because you'll hear yourself, and that's been the toughest part. You'll hear yourself swallow consonants. You hear yourself mispronounce other words. You'll hear yourself stutter a bit. That is important because that way you can say, you know what, I could probably say that and this is if you're not working live like we are now. And it depends on the project as well. If you're doing just a real casual discussion podcast like what Chuck and I are doing right now, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's when you start doing more formal podcasts. And what I mean by formal is like if you're doing a dissertation as a podcast and you need to make sure that it's all dead letter perfect. You're gonna read something, hear yourself read it, and go, I can probably read that a little better.
Yep.
If you're doing fiction podcasts, if you're doing short stories, poetry, or something like that, you're gonna hear yourself gonna be like, let me emphasize this word as opposed to this word. And that's where self-monitoring really comes into play. So I know that may sound like a throwaway bit of advice. Get used to it, but I don't know of any other word. I don't know how else to put it, except you do need to get used to it. It is a little disorienting. Make sure, though, that you're not listening to yourself in delay. If you're listening to yourself in delay,
no, yeah.
That will mess with your head in the worst possible way.
I've tried that, and it does mess with your head. Eventually, no. I just take the headphones and go, fine, I'm not going to wear these. I'm recording for what? Yeah, then you throw the headphones away. That's the only situation where I would say record without headphones. But yeah, if there's a latency issue, that's what I got out of some of the older USB things, and that was a problem. And yeah. I couldn't take it. So that's when I had to go change the whole architecture of what I was doing. So if that's your problem, you got to find and fix that. But right. Definitely the tonality of your voice, you're never going to sound like you think you sound because internally you've got a certain timbre from your lungs and your bones and your inner ear and all that stuff that makes up how you hear yourself. And then you hear yourself on a recording or through the headphones. It's just going to be different. That's the way the world hears you, and it is what it is. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it.
But here's the thing. You will always sound better than you think you do if you're enjoying yourself, mm-hmm. if you're speaking with confidence, and you're prepared for what you're talking about. That's something we get into later on in the
finding your voice.
In we're going to be talking about finding your voice, and that's something essential. You know, keep calling, keep asking, keep bringing up these subjects, because we will touch on them, but we will say, don't worry, we're going to go deeper into them later on. But by all means, go ahead and drop us a voicemail at 703-791-1701. You can also drop us a comment with this particular show at podcastingfordummies.com. Find the show you want to comment on. Go ahead and drop it there. You can also reach us at podcast@podcastingfordummies.com or drop us an email at our respective email addresses, and we'd be more than happy to bring that question here onto the podcast. And remember, if you want to be part of the podcast, if you want to take part in the live chat, go on ahead and drop us a follow at twitch.tv/TheTMonster. Make sure notifications are enabled so whenever we go live, you know what we're doing. So folks, just remember something, Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching on stream. Until next time, pot on!